March 16, 1989, Chapel Service. The speaker is Bruce Powers, Professor of Christian Education.
Please remain standing for our invocation. May we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to remember today and next week during the spring conference our seminary motto, 2 Timothy 3:17. May our Christian education here at Southeastern and that which we provide in churches be for the purpose of having every man and woman who belongs to God become efficient and equipped for good work of every kind. We pray for the conference leaders, our faculty and students, and those alumni and other ministers who will be here for continuing education. God grant them a safe journey. May this experience be helpful and meaningful for all who are involved. We pray in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning we're having a combination pre-Holy Week service and also our normal service that we usually have during our spring conference week. Due to the placement of Easter this year, we're going to be having a shortened spring conference week and have next Thursday and Friday off from classes as part of our Holy Week. Our call to purpose today focuses on growing persons and growing churches. Faithfulness in growing as persons, as disciples of Jesus Christ, and faithfulness in growing congregations that are faithful to the lives planted in that local setting. This morning we want to share with you, as we prepare for Holy Week, prepare for Easter, some of the concerns that are on our hearts in terms of that journey. In some respects, it is an inward journey, as Elizabeth O'Connor has described, an inner journey for each of us personally. But in reality, it is an outward journey, wherein ultimately, in discovering the gifts that God has given us, in discovering who we are, and unfolding the blessings that God has given us in creation, we begin to find direction, both in terms of what we do individually and in terms of what we do as local congregations. For it is in the utilization of those gifts that God has given in Christian service that we begin to find our fulfillment as disciples of Jesus Christ. Will you continue with us on that journey this morning?
Our scripture is taken this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 25 through 27. As Simon Peter stood warming himself, he was asked, "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?" Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow.
Thank you.
Robert Parrish has asked that we announce that the Spiritual Life Committee invites all students, staff, and faculty to attend a gospel service tonight from 7 to 8 in Appleby Chapel. The journey from religion to faith. In Harold Bissell's very enlightening book under the title of Unholy Devotion, he describes the path as we walk the journey toward Christlikeness. He suggests that we all begin by becoming part of a religious environment that deals with ultimate issues like life and death, but may bear little resemblance to the historical events surrounding the life and teachings of the one whose name they bear. Those who continue in this journey, he suggests, move from a cultural type religion to a belief-oriented experience in which we explain ultimate issues through the theological systems we develop. For some, these are simple lists of what we believe or don't believe. For others, they are elaborate systems of propositions and proofs. The tough part of the journey, he suggests, is moving beyond the known into the faith dimension of one's experience, with the Christ, where one does not test by feelings or even by testimony or even by right doctrine, but one encounters the historical accounts of Christ and the forthright teachings he shared and joins with those who through history have sought to be faithful to a God who came in human form to provide guidance and an opportunity to join with God in seeking transformation and redemption of all persons, yes, even all creation. In this book, Bissell illustrates how one can get off track in the journey toward Christ by stopping at religion or stopping at beliefs without moving to a personal faith rooted in the historical Christ event. The unholy part of one's experience, he suggests, comes when we test our revelation with Jesus Christ simply by whether it feels good or not. Rather than encountering the Christ, we begin to thrive on testimony. We come to and develop in our Christian experience through hearing what others think and feel about their experience. Then we get into what Richard Niebuhr described as dealing with reflections of reflections of reflections of reflections. The journey we make in this place as we approach Holy Week is one based on a faith deeply rooted in an historical encounter with Jesus the Christ, with his word, and with his people. We claim to be pilgrims, ever struggling to have faith and to be faithful, yet trusting that faithfulness in the journey will somehow yield transformation. One looks outward and crawls and walks, even runs to express the essence of the journey which we have on the inside, which in some ways begins to transform our lives. You don't really leave this journey. Rather, it stays with you, refining, testing, challenging, and yes, even changing your perception of how and why you must make the journey. This is the struggle of faith. Many of us have experienced just such a journey as we have looked deeply into who we are and whose we are. We have had a journey inward where we've laughed together, cried together, prayed together, sung together, eaten together, fasted together, witnessed together. We have shared hope, anger, humility, risk, success, and yes, even failure in some respects. On our journey, we have examined and been challenged by the experiences of those who have been pilgrims before us. We're grateful for those women and men who have spotted the post along the way and have had the experience of clarifying in their time and in their place the message of Christ, and they have left words of wisdom for us. To the markers and the signpost we have found, we have added our own. maybe rough, sometimes crude, maybe sometimes unintelligible, perhaps unintelligible to those who haven't been on the same journey in which we have been involved. But the footprints of our journey are embedded in the memory of those who have walked the path before us and of those who walk beside us. Look at Peter's journey. He walked with Christ. He ministered with Christ. He was sure of his own loyalty to Jesus. He would follow Jesus even to death itself. Surely no one was more committed than he. If I must die with you, I will not deny you. But Jesus warned Peter, "You will deny me." Could this be? Betrayed by one of his own disciples, Jesus faced with his last hours, putting out the words for those who later might search for the way. Peter saw some of these signposts that Jesus left, but they lacked meaning. He was still on the journey. Peter joined the crowd. He wanted to be nearby. He waited in the courtyard, not knowing whether to stand up and be counted or to hide among the crowd. He chose to hide at the insistent crowing of the rooster. He finally recognized the message. I must make this journey alone. And Peter broke down and wept. Failure, despair, maybe. Part of the journey, probably. Is there hope? Look for the message of faith. It proclaims, yes. The journey for the true believer ultimately makes a faith step and faces out from resurrection. For Peter, for you, for me, where does the journey into religion, into belief, and finally into faith become the personalized journey for you and for me? What is the answer? No, rather, who is the answer?
Please stand and read responsively number 550 in the back of your hymnal. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher.
And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it.
His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men.
And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified.
He is not here, for he is risen."
He is not here, for he is risen.
O Lord, our Creator, teacher, and friend, we ask your guidance as we, your people, leave this place. Empower us to become teachers and friends of your creation. Give us strength and wisdom as we share your love to the waiting world around us. Go in peace.